Hello, this is Ash Rowan, Rosa Radney's assistant. Before we get started with part 3 of Rosa's interview, I wanted to let you know that you can learn more about Rosa's work at www.masteringmagicwitchcraft.com, or you can check out her blog at www.rose-ariadne.com. Enjoy part 3 of the interview.
Well, how about this one? Because so many people, well, we all know that money is a big deal, and love and wealth are big topics. So
absolutely,
the obvious question that often comes is, you know, can I get love? Can I get money? Can love and wealth really be gotten through using these spells?
Again, the answer is absolutely. In witchcraft, the only limitation is your imagination. Now, but these are really tricky spells, and you need to keep that in mind when you're working any kind of magic that involves other people or some outside influences. As I said before, and I repeat it many, many times in my teachings, I do not believe that it's ever right to target and control another individual to your will. In love spells, this is more true than probably anywhere else. Specifically, making someone love you through the use of magic is possible, but when people are casting love spells, it's usually because they're trying to fill a void in their lives. Do you really think that that void is going to be filled with this parody or caricature of love where the other person is not giving themselves freely? To me, love is all about giving yourself freely. It's unconditional. If you're binding someone, eventually that binding may break and they will walk out of your life anyway. You're going to be worse off because now you've had that touch of them in your life. Worse, it won't break, you know, and you have a shell of love, and you don't have a true fulfilling love, which is what most people are looking for. Bending someone to your will may, maybe, I don't know, feel satisfying at first, but if you're a true follower of the Wiccan path, or even most of the witchcraft religions, you have broken the first law, and at harm none, do as you will. And how would you feel if someone had you totally in their control and you were not allowed to think or feel for yourself? To me, I would be mortified. I'd feel violated. You know, that would be very harmful. Love spells are about, real love spells are about drawing true love to you, not about controlling another human being. It's about opening yourself up to the possibility of healing, love, being loved. But it draws the other person to you that will best suit and complement each other. You know, love is a two-way street. It's not all about you, as much as we like to think so.
Egotists that we are.
The egotists that we are. The love spells that do it correctly are the ones that do it without binding someone to you and without harming them in that way, because it is a violation of their rights. You know, you don't have the right to play God in their lives. Now, money spells are a little different. While you don't want to be, you know, like with love spells, you don't want to necessarily be specific about where you got the money from, because believe it or not, the magic may be a little more creative than you might be, and they can pull it from, magic will actually pull it from a totally unexpected source to bring you what you need or ask for. There is more importance on placing some specifics in casting magic for money. Remember, magic isn't good or bad, it just is. You may cast a spell to bring money in and find that the next day your grandfather dies from a heart attack so you can come into an inheritance. Once again, you've broken the first rule, and it harm none. When casting spells for money, you need to be specific in your request so that no other individual comes to harm in your reaping of the benefits. Now, that's a very, very important point, and it harm none. Rule number one.
Right. Cool. Well, I think if we kept that in mind, I mean, that's the basis, supposedly, of all spiritual beliefs, is not to harm anyone.
Exactly.
I mean, that's just all-encompassing. How about this question that you often get? How long do you have to study magic before you get power? I mean, this could be a lifelong process from what it looks like.
Absolutely. It's going to vary for each individual. There is no there's no cut and dried saying, you know, in 2 weeks you're going to be able to learn this and another 3 weeks you're going to learn this. It's just not the way it happens. The first issue in dealing with magic is one of belief. You have to be able to know, believe that the magic works before it'll happen. That's a hurdle that's going to vary for each individual, depending on what they already believe, how they were raised. It depends on how open they are to possibilities, how rooted they were in their history of religious dogma, scientific beliefs, whether they're coming from a scientific perspective where they've believed all their life that there is no such thing as magic. Or even it's also going to depend a lot on self-confidence levels of each individual. The second issue that comes in is how much time are you devoting to developing that magic potential? Obviously, if someone has the full faith and belief in what they're doing, they're working with the magic 6 to 10 hours a day, they're going to advance in their power levels and the strength of what they're doing at a much more rapid pace than someone who has doubts and only works with magic once a week or once a month, whenever they can fit it into their schedule. Magic is all about spirituality. It's a connection. You have to be able to connect. And if you can't believe, you can't connect. And if you don't have the self-confidence and belief in yourself, you're not going to be able to make these things happen. So, it's going to vary for each individual.
That makes sense. Lots of sense. Well, can anyone practice Wicca or witchcraft? I mean, are there any requirements, really?
Anyone can practice Wicca or witchcraft. It's not an exclusive club. You don't have to join a coven. There are many solitary practitioners out there that do absolute wonderful magic and do some amazing things. The only requirement is that you dedicate yourself and that you have faith and belief in what it is that you're doing. If you cannot believe that you could make things happen through witchcraft, you're not going to get very far. I think it's also important to note that Wicca and witchcraft are religions. That's what I mean by dedicating yourself to what it is that you're doing. It's certainly possible to cast spells and access the magic without having the faith in a higher power. But then I have to ask the question, if you don't have faith in a higher power, where do you think the magic stems from or is created in the first place from? For me, it's hard to look at the wonders of creation that fill the world around us and not see the hand of a higher power. I mean, just look at everything that's around us. I can't even imagine how that could come into being without there being a higher power or a divine design of some sort that created it. It just works all too well together for it not to be, in my opinion. But even science, with its examination and theories of quantum physics and quantum mechanics, they've started to formulate their theories around a central unifying force of some sort. They have given it the name Grava. And they use this term to describe an underlying force in the universe that touches all things at all times. Now, it's kind of a...
What is that term? Grava?
Grava. G-R-A-V-A. Mm-hmm. And it's used, I believe, in quantum mechanics with string theory, the new everything is connected theory, which a lot of spiritual people have believed in a long time, and science is just now finally getting a clue.
Yeah, at long last.
At long last. Einstein was a very deeply spiritual man. He came to believe very strongly in a higher power, and yet his theories are some of the most predominant breakthroughs in science that mankind has even seen and studied to this day. You know? So as far as requirements go, I think that belief is the only true requirement to doing Wicca or witchcraft. What you believe is going to vary from individual to individual. The experience of magic and witchcraft is truly what you make of it and what you put into it.
It would seem that that belief has to stem from the right brain. If you're a really left-brainer, a logical person, you're going to find that difficult. And also, from what you say, if your background has been one of skepticism,
absolutely,
it's difficult. But I don't think these people would probably get into this in the first place or try to in the first place.
Well, I think it's pretty amazing that science is making the steps that they are right now. They're finally, with quantum physics and particularly quantum mechanics, they are finally starting to bridge that gap that has been missing between science and spirituality. And I think Einstein is one of those ones that started making the way.
They are married. You know, each has its place, and they're side by side, basically.
Mm-hmm. I think one day we'll actually get it.
I hope you enjoyed part 3 of Rose's interview. Remember to visit Rose at her blog, www.rose-ariadne.com, and also take a peek at her life's work at www.masteringmagicwitchcraft.com.